This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Grant Nanny here on The Fan. Linnell in for GP. We're live at Caddy's. That's the best bar slash restaurant to watch a game, according to Bethesda Magazine. That's 2 years running, please and thank you. They treated us so well. Always love coming out to this spot. We ask you one final time today, what are you doing to protect your family's assets? It's the exclusive sponsor of our show. The law firm of Condori and Morad can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. It is time to go scouting. Let's play the sounder that tells people that it's time to go scouting, Linnell. And Ed Kratz from SI, kind enough to give us a few minutes here to go through the Philadelphia Eagles, who's in, who's out, and kind of their playoff prognosis and sort of what's going on and what always seems to be a drama-filled locker room. Ed, Happy New Year, buddy. Appreciate the time.
What's up, Ed?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year to you, too.
Appreciate you. So let's start with this. Forget about, for a moment, some of the particulars of this game. Neither team is treating it, unless Philadelphia's not really treating it with the respect it might once have had when you looked at the schedule. But what's going on, big picture, in this locker room for this team? It seems there's always some kind of discord for 11-5 group. A lot of teams are trade places with them, but it always seems like something's a little bit off there.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's just a team that thrives in adversity, whether it's self-inflicted or you know, from other places across the country. I mean, you know, they've been to two Super Bowls in the last 3 years.
Ain't bad, right?
I mean, it's hard to argue with the success they've had. And no matter what it looks like inside the locker room, the product they put on the field is typically a winning product. This is their fifth straight year in the playoffs under Nick Sirianni since he took over. It's their eighth playoff appearance in the last 9 years. So it's hard to argue the success they've had. Now, you know, that said, this team to me has looked tired at times. Coming off a season last year, they played 21 games. They went 18-3. You know, it's hard to recapture that week in and week out determination, enthusiasm, mentality, whatever you want to call it, to play again. And now here we are in the second season. They're in the playoffs. They're the champs of the NFC East, second straight year. First time that's happened in 21 years. And there might be more of a sense of urgency now. And this team certainly looks to me like it's going to be a tough out. No matter who they play, I don't think they really care who they play, to tell you the truth. That's why they're not playing any starters. If they're the two seed, you know, they win this game, the Lions beat the Bears, they are the two seed. But I don't think they care if they're the third seed and have to go on the road in the second week if they win their wild card round. So, you know, it's a team I think that thrives on adversity, and it's hard to argue with what they've done.
They had 16 yards of offense in the second half this past weekend against Buffalo. All year long, it's kind of been up and down with that offense, and people are kind of just waiting for the other shoe to drop, thinking they'll get it together eventually. How would you, like, categorize, like, what's the main issue with the offense? Is this a play-calling issue? Well, is this an execution issue?
Whatever you name, it's going to be.
The answer's yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to me, again, I think the offensive line, you could throw that in there. They've been kind of banged up. Only two players on that line have started every game this year. But, you know, it hasn't looked good. There's no question. And yet they win. I mean, it's hard to believe that they would have that kind of a half in Buffalo in adverse weather conditions and beat the reigning MVP of the league. And yet they did. And, you know, they've had other games like that this year. This is the second time Jalen Hurts this season hasn't had a single yard passing in a game.
Which sounds crazy.
And yet they've won. But they've won both games. I mean, there's really no explaining it except that they, like I said, this to me is a team that, you know, and it's, maybe it's cliche, but they do have kind of that heart of the champion. They seem to turn it up when they need to. They seem to score when they have to. And the way this defense is playing, like I said, I think this team with this defense is going to be a tough out. I mean, they're the third best team in limiting scoring. They're holding teams under 20 points a game.
Yep.
And in this day and age in the NFL where everything's slanted toward the offense, that's really saying something.
Ed Kratz, Sports Illustrated, with us here on G&D. Linnell in for GP. Yeah, I still think they're a Super Bowl threat. I know that's not a popular sentiment at this point, just because there's always so much discord, always seems like something's swirling around them. Then I'll mention some of the offensive woes, and you're talking about it too, Ed. But I still see them as a team that I would not want to face in the NFC.
Well, I can't blame you. I mean, you're right. I mean, this team, like I said, they won it last year. They know what it takes. And, you know, say what you want. Everybody seems to have an opinion of Jalen Hurts, a very polarizing quarterback. But to me, he's one of the best in the game. I mean, this guy just does what it takes to win. And that makes them even tougher to take out. Not to mention that, like, the defense, like I said. But to me, you can't just poo-poo them and say, well, they're going to lose in the first round. And they very well might. But wherever they lose, however they lose, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for another team to take them out, just because they know what it takes. They know how to prepare. They're playoff tested. They're battle tested. Everything you want to say. I mean, this team has it. Do they have enough gas? I mean, that's the point, I think, of giving them a rest on Sunday, is you want to kind of have them have that bye week. They don't have the bye week. They're not the number one seed. So this is their bye week. And, you know, if they come out rested, they fix a few things, make a few tweaks on offense, you're right. This is going to be a team that is going to be a tough out, especially in a NFC and AFC playoffs are wide open, in my opinion. Maybe you can't – there's no Chiefs where you can say, okay, that you got to take them down. So in an NFC that I think is wide open, yeah, why not the Eagles? Why can't they go back to the Super Bowl?
So you're talking Hurts. I want to delve down a little bit on that as well. The rushing totals for him – way less than what we're used to seeing. And passing yards went up a little bit as some of the productivity in the passing game. But what did we make of that this year? I mean, last year was so prodigious, 630 yards, the 14 touchdowns, 15 the year before. Bradley Chubb, whatever you want to call it, maybe a little bit less so this year. But didn't run as much, but some of the passing totals slightly increased. Give me kind of a state of the state on Jalen Hurts, franchise quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe this is a natural evolution of Jalen Hurts as a runner. You know, he's 27 years old. He'll be 28 next year. I mean, you're not going to be able to outrun some of these defenders coming into the league at 21, 22 years old. And I think we have seen in the times that he has run the football, he's just not as fast as he was 3-4 years ago. So, you know, I think that's the natural evolution of things. He's absolutely still a threat if you're a defensive coordinator. And you don't think Jalen Hurts can hurt you with your legs still, then, you know, you're not going to win a game. You have to still respect his legs. But I think it's kind of been by design for the Eagles. They want to get him healthy. This is really the first season in the last 2 or 3 years where he's been able to finish a season. Now, obviously, he won't play Sunday because he's resting. But, you know, the last couple of years, he's been hurt. You know, he had a concussion against the Commanders, I think, was it 2 years ago? I think Frankie Luvo hit him and gave him a concussion. And he missed a couple starts at the end of the year. So I think this was by design, too, by the Eagles. Is, you know, let's save him. Let's get him through the season, and then maybe we can take the wraps off him in the playoffs. And I think you might see that. I think you might see him being more that plus one in the backfield with Saquon Barkley than we saw during the regular season, because now's the time that it matters most.
It's going to be fascinating, man. You mentioned the defense. What they did this past weekend against Buffalo, it's one of the best rushing offenses in all the National Football League, and they just took them to the woodshed up front. The secondary, though, still feels like it is a question spot. I know they've moved Cooper DeJean to the outside and moved someone else into the nickel spot. How much of a concern is the pass defense when you have to go up against potentially a team like the Rams, who have multiple number ones in Puka Nacua and Davante Adams?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a pass defense that's ranked seventh in the league. I mean, you know, that's not too shabby. They were first last year. I think Adoree Jackson has really kind of solidified that other spot. And, you know, they use Cooper DeJean, who to me is, you know, he's got to be one of the top three or four cornerbacks in this league. But they use him on the outside in their base defense and then move him into nickel in the dime packages.
Right.
So, yeah, so, I mean, you know, that kind of solidifies that. And, you know, they have beaten the Rams this year. They beat them last year in the divisional round. But, you know, this pass defense is still seventh best in the league if you go by the numbers. And it's an improving unit. It's gotten better as the season's going on. And like I said, I think Adoree Jackson, a veteran, this is his ninth season, played a few years with the Titans, the former number one pick. Or, you know, first round pick, I should say. And then, you know, he played with the Giants for a few years. And, you know, he's kind of figuring out his role. And he's gotten better with knowing what Vic Fangio expects. And then you start with Vic Fangio. Yeah, I should have started with him. I mean,
yeah.
DC, you know, to me, he's been doing this for over 40 years. There's not a lot you can throw at him during the course of a game that he hasn't seen. and can adjust to. So, you know, to me, this defense has gotten better as the season goes on, and I don't see that slowing down now, whether you're running or passing against them.
Ed, we've kind of touched on it, obviously, without some starters going, but how will they treat this game? Is this a preseason game where, you know, practice squad Peter's going to get 20 carries? Are they going to, you know, go half of the game, whoever the starters happen to be? Like, how are they going to treat this thing here in the finale with where they've clearly made the announcement almost without saying it? They're not too concerned whether they win or lose.
Yeah, right. They want to win, obviously.
Sure.
Win every game you play. And it's going to be the backups that are going to play. You know, Hurts is going to play. Tanner McKee, who a lot of people, at least in Philly, think can be, you know, traded for a second-round pick. I mean, they're really high on Tanner McKee. You know, he's going to get his second career start. He started last year against the Giants in a meaningless regular season game, put up 270 yards and two touchdown passes and had a passer rating of around 100. So, very capable backup. He's going to start. I think you'll see Tank Bigsby and A.J. Dillon, who's kind of been a spare part. He's been inactive for the last 8 games. Remember him, the former Green Bay Packers.
Quadfather.
Standout. Yeah, yeah. A hammer. Just a hammer, that guy. But they haven't used him. But I think he'll play. I think you're going to see all backups on the offensive line, which is going to include two rookies, a center, Drew Kendall, and a tackle, Cameron Williams. So that's kind of how they're treating it. Defensively, I'm not sure what they'll do. Safeties, Marcus Epps won't play. Breed Blankenship won't play. I think Michael Carter, who they got in a trade from the Jets, he'll probably be a safety along with Sidney Brown. So you're going to see a lot of reserves, and they feel like they can still win. And the starters have been right there with these backups, excited to see them play. They're working with them all week, getting them prepared. And, you know, you look at the Commanders, too. You know, you're starting Josh Johnson, who, you know, what's he, 39, 40 years old, hasn't played a whole lot in the last couple of years. Laramie Tunsil, it's a shame he's not playing. But, you know, the Commanders are playing some backup guys, too, and I think it's just going to kind of be like a scrimmage game, really. And the best, may the best backups win.
Seriously. Yeah, and I would take yours over ours, just as a quick side. Ed, happy New Year to you, buddy. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy going to the playoffs. Must be nice.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Appreciate you. There he goes. That is Ed Kratz. That is how we scout the opponent.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I hate to do this exercise, Linnell, but it is the right thing to do. Keys to the game.
Oh, my God.
If there is such a thing when you're talking about a game that's as meaningless as it could be. I know, listen, you played at a high level. We joke about this, but to a lot of guys, it is their, I hate to say it's their Super Bowl because it is football, but it's meaningful for a lot of players for a lot of reasons. So with that said, understanding this is the exercise and you know the scale of keys to the game is far lower. The stakes couldn't be lower for this team at this point. But in terms of what you'd like to see, a good showing, players that could play well, things that might move you in one direction or the other. What are they?
Yeah, obviously the young guys, the 3 second-round picks have been under the microscope for me the last 8 or 9 weeks. Mike Sanders, still Ben Sinnott, Jazon Newton. But more importantly than the play of any individual, Danny, we've referenced it several times throughout the show. That stretch in which they lost 5 games by 21 or more points, that can't happen. And I said it after the Vikings game, and we almost got a close call on Netflix. They can't afford another one of those losses. They can't afford to get blown out again, even in the season finale when the other team's playing its backups. Like, I want to see them compete. And I know that's the easy cop-out answer, but, like, when you go through that 1-month stretch where you look like you don't belong in the league,
yeah,
that rises to the top of the list for me, more important than anybody's individual development. I need to see the program compete. That's it.
The thing that will frustrate me is if and when, and I believe this is what's going to happen, and I'm hoping that they have some rationale about it and don't do this, but it's when Bobby Wagner plays all the snaps. It's when Terry McLaurin in the fourth quarter of a quote-unquote close game is catching passes and fighting through some contact, et cetera. There are enough guys on this roster that have enough deposits in the bank for me.
Right.
Good or bad. Right? Like, I don't need to see anything else from Terry McLaurin. I know what I got. I want, if he's healthy, I got a guy that's going to help me an awful lot. Right? Done and done. Appreciate you. I don't need to run Deebo Samuel into the ground. Maybe if you have no intention of having him back in the offseason, maybe you just do it just because. Who knows? Maybe he's got an incentive in his contract, or maybe you're trying to give him an audition for somebody else. I don't know what I don't know there. Okay? But the veterans, the guys that brought me 4-12, I don't really care about you. It sounds disrespectful.
It's harsh, but it's real.
But this is the league. Guys get replaced. Guys get fired over seasons like this. Guys lose jobs over things like this. In your job, in your world, if you turned in the equivalent of 4-12 and weren't competitive for a couple of months, you might be having a meeting with HR, talking to the boss a couple of times. This is very real. This is a harsh league that requires turnover anyway. Even if you're good, there's still going to be 25 new guys that make your roster year over year. So I'm not interested in pretty much any veteran doing anything in this game. I whether they do or don't, I'm not going to go, oh, my God, look at this great block by Nick Allegretti, right? That's not going to do it for me. I will have a spotlight on Josh Connerly.
Yep.
I will have a spotlight on the kids that you mentioned. I want to see some more diversity from Bill. Not his fault, theirs.
Yeah.
I want him in the passing game, not just at pass pro, which I feel like he's gotten better at. I want the ball leaves the quarterback's hand, and it's in the hands of Bill, running even a swing route, a screen pass, something to get the ball to that guy in space. So there aren't a ton of young players waiting in the wings. Jordan McGee deserves more snaps. You know that. I want to see Kane Medrano Tyler Owens here or there. Well, he's undersized. Yeah. If I see him on the field, I go, we're checking to a run.
Yeah.
Find me Patrick Ricard or a guard or somebody to go hunting for that dude. And let's knock him into next week. But I want to see at least. I'd like to see some of these things. They're not as interested in that. So that's kind of where I am.
It's a tough spot to be in, man. I hate that we've gotten to this point in the season. You know what else? I mentioned like a potential Deron Payne final home game against Dallas. Is this Cliff Kingsbury's last game as the offensive coordinator here for the Washington Commanders? That's another big hot-button topic. He has been super respectful and graceful at the podium whenever he's been asked about it. In terms of, like, judging him here real quick, Danny, how much of a pass does he get for having to call games without a starting quarterback?
Some.
Without a starting wide receiver.
Some, but not all. Like, I did this the other day. Mm-hmm. Commendable that you're 12th in yards per play. Seriously, with what you had.
Yeah.
Are we sure it's cool they're 25th in points? Are we sure that's okay that they're in the company of the Giants and the Jets and some of the worst offenses in the sport?
With a high-paid backup, too.
I understand it's not going to be the same. I understand it's not the same.
Yeah.
I also know that it can't be that bad. So it's a mixed bag, certainly. We got to do a quick little shindig right here. It's the player to lock in on. Let's get your player to lock in on, presented by Baldino's Lock and Key, your hometown security team for auto keys and fobs. Visit Baldino's.com. Who is your player to lock in on for this game?
The man that everyone is putting in Canton after three coverage sacks, Jerzon Newton. I want to see what he can do. Can you follow it up? This week, you're going up against backups again, by the way. The three sacks that he had, he was going up against a backup guard for the Dallas Cowboys. Not that I'm hating on Jerzon Newton. I just want you all to relax a little bit.
Mm.
Can you follow it up? Can you get back-to-back quality performances for maybe the first time in your career, young man?
Josh Connerly's my answer.
Yeah.
We already kind of touched on it, but just sort of doubling down on the idea, this is not Brian Burns or Micah Parsons.
No.
This is not one of those, unblockable monsters this week. Now, Philadelphia's still good, but you're probably dealing with a backup or a starter for part of the time, et cetera. They're not going to show anything fancy. They're not going to show you the zone dog blitz that they're going to use in the wild card round, et cetera. It looks to be pretty vanilla. This needs to be a look at where I've come, look at how far I've come type game for him. That's kind of what I'm looking for when we start talking about my player to lock in on Josh Connerly. We sort of went through guys with stuff on the line. We sort of went through, the players that need to kind of prove something, et cetera. Let's do this. How's the game going to go?
Oh, well, close your ears, or you're going to be hurt by this. I think it's a super hotly contested contest for about 60 minutes. I think we even make it overtime. I also think that Jake Moody walks it off with a field goal. We win the game that we're not supposed to. We crush our draft position and miss out on the elite edge rusher that we should have. I think we win.
What's the score?
Give me 20 to 24. No. Give me 20. Well, that can't be the case. If it's
20 to 24.
Give me 21 to 24. Jake Moody walk-off field goal. I'd be so mad.
I have a similar prediction myself, my friend. It feels like the game that they're going to win. Yeah. Now we'll see how it all shakes out. But it's one of those coaches and players, for whatever reason, they love this.
Oh, yes.
They love the emptiest calorie that us as fans are going, really? This exasperating behavior where you couldn't have done this a month ago when it mattered, et cetera, and so on. This empty calorie, completely meaningless donut of a game. They're going to win against some backups and try to use it as validation for whatever reason. I understand they got to stay motivated. They're football players. They're playing at the highest level. There's no level above it. But it feels like the emptiest game of all the empty games, and they're going to win kind of a rock fight, 19-16, in a bit of a slugfest against Philadelphia. I'm worried about it. I'd be annoyed about it. Thanks to everyone here at Caddies for having us. Thanks to you guys for checking out the show, for Wes, for Metal Chris, for Linnell, GP hoping it gets better. We'll be back at it on Monday. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen,
from Bethesda,
The Weeknd.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.